Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, we have been discussing the collection of the Quran as ascribed to the Caliph Ali رضي الله عنه. And in the previous session, which was the first session of this topic, we had discussed some of the narratives which say so. And we had also viewed how various scholars interpret these narratives. Now, today in this episode, inshallah, I'll try to analyze these opinions of our worthy scholars of the past and also try to critique or summarize and evaluate the critique which actually arises on these narratives. If you remember and recall in the last session, we had seen that our scholars had made their observations regarding the narratives which ascribe a collection to the Caliph Ali. However, their opinion on all the four narratives or the variants which I had described in my previous talk are not available. But barring the fact that all these comments on all the narratives are not available, if in a nutshell we can ascribe something to these scholars or group them in categories, then we can easily say that there are two broad categories in this regard vis-a-vis interpreting these narratives of the collection of the Quran attributed to Ali رضي الله عنه. Now, first category is that it was not a written collection. Scholars like Ibn Hajar and Ibn Kathir are of the opinion that basically it was a memorization. The word in the narrative which says jam, it refers to a oral collection or a memorization of the Quran by the Caliph Ali. And on the other hand, scholars like Zurqani and Shawli were of the opinion that it refers to a written personal collection. And so therefore, we had these two distinct categories that we can surmise. Now, as far as the preference in these two categories is concerned, my personal opinion is that the category which says that it was a personal written collection has much more is much more convincing than the previous one. This is because although the word jam can be used for both memorization and for a little written collection, but there are indications in other narratives which clearly say that it was a written collection and it was actually written between two covers. And when I say this, I can refer to narratives by Ali, by narrative by Yaman, and narrative by Ibn Sirin. And the one by Ibn Sirin is not the one in which Ash'as is there, because we know that Ash'as is the only person, according to Abu Bakr ibn Abu Dawud, who, according to his opinion, is the one who has said that it refers to a written collection. So I'm going to refer to Ibn Sirin's narrative in which Ash'as is not there, but still it says that it was a written collection. So I'm not going to read out the whole narrative, as you can see some of them being displayed on their screen. Just the relevant part in which you can see that it was actually a written collection. Thus, for example, Ali's narrative, which is reported by Abd Khair, in that narrative, which is reported by Hashim, by Al-Haskani's Shawahid al-Tanzil, the words are فَجَلَسَ فِي بَيْتِهِ حَتَّى جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنِ. It refers to Ali. He sat in his house and then he collected the Quran, and the words are فَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مُصْحَفٍ جُمِعَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. So it was the first collection in which mushaf in which the Quran was collected, and the hadith or the narrative goes on to say jumi'ahu min qalbihi, it was collected from his heart. So we can see clearly that this narrative, which is by Ali, actually refers to a written collection. And then we have another narrative from al-Yaman, and the words of that narrative are hatta yajma' al-Qur'ana bayn al-lawhain. So again, it means that collecting of the Quran between two covers. So this clearly shows that the issue was not of memorization, but it was a written collection. And then finally, Ibn Sirin's narrative is also being displayed before you. Again, here it is not by the name of Ash'as does not figure in this chain of narration. And here the words are hatta ajma' al-Quran qal faza'amu annahu kataba ala tanzilihi. So he says that people ascribing this collection to Ali say that it was collected, it was written according to the chronological order. Now, obviously, we're going to discuss the issue of the chronological order separately. But the fact is that the words are annahu katabahu. He wrote it down. He wrote it down. So again, the stress is on the word writing down. So we can viewers clearly see that we can give preference to the fact that it was a written collection. It might be of a personal nature, but the fact that other narratives are in support of this makes me conclude that if at all we have to give a preference between these two, I'm not saying that this is absolutely correct, but if we have to give a preference between these two, then the second of these, which says that it was a written collection and not a memorization, holds much more ground. Now let us now view that if it is a written collection of a personal nature by Ali, then let's see what are the issues which arise on this. Now, first of all, we can see that the narratives which describe that Ali had been collecting the Quran, they say, this is the first critique which arises, they say that Ali said that he had seen there were additions being made in the Book of God, and the words are, رَأَيْتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ يُزَادْ فِيهِ. When Ali was asked what he was doing, when he was not pledging allegiance to the Caliph Abu Bakr, and what had stopped him, he said that I saw additions being made in the Book of God. Now, this is a very, very grave and a very serious statement, and a statement which has a lot of repercussion. So if this was the fact that he had seen that the Quran was being added to, and let us see the response of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه on this, which is against common sense and which is against all rules of the way things happen when such grave situations are presented before sane people. Thus, for example, what Abu Bakr replied when Ali said that he was actually he had actually seen that the Quran was being played upon, it was being interpolated. Abu Bakr just said, "You have formed a very good opinion, nimama ra'ita," so which means that you have done the right thing. So this is something which is questionable in the fact that the narrative should have expressed more concern on the part of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. Why is it that he just stopped by saying that, okay, you've done the right thing? He should have been more concerned, and should have gone over and asked him or stressed upon him that how did it came to his knowledge? Who were the people responsible for it? Why was it taking place? What was the whole scenario all about? So he should have shown much more concern, much more alarm than he just is supposed to have expressed in this narrative, which says that you have formed a good opinion and something that you have rightly done. So this response by Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه is very, very strange, because if the Book of God was being added to, he should have been more alarmed and more curious and more concerned that something should have been done. He should have stressed upon Ali to give him the names of the people and how is this was being brought about. So on the contrary, we just find Abu Bakr saying that you've done the right thing. So this is the first critique, which primarily is of the fact that the response of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه not only unbecoming, it is against common sense. Secondly, we also should view this the fact that the Caliph Ali رضي الله عنه, who obviously was not the Caliph at that time, he too did something which is slightly questionable as well and very strange. If additions were being made in the Book of God, so he should have been the first one to report these additions instead of just trying to rectify these additions. This should have alarmed him a lot. He should have come forth. He should have made a hue and cry and come over to other companions and said that, look, what's going on, what's happening. On the contrary, what the narrative say is that only when he was asked to pledge allegiance, or he was asked that why did he delay pledging allegiance, did he come forward and say that he had seen the Book of God being added to, and therefore he thought that it was his responsibility to look after that and rectify it. The fact of the matter is that he should have come forward himself, and instead of delaying the situation, he should have told other companions, taken them into confidence, and then tried to rectify the situation. So again, just as the first critique is something which is totally unbecoming of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, the second one is that it was very strange that Ali رضي الله عنه himself did not take the initiative. He should have taken the initiative and come forward with the fact that he had seen the Book of God being tampered with, and therefore he was perturbed and he wanted to rectify the situation. So instead of involving other people, taking them into confidence, he is seen doing it himself and offering this pretext for not coming forward and expressing and pledging oath to the caliphate of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. And now the third thing, which is a point of critique in this, is that we find that in the standard narrative of the collection of the Quran by Abu Bakr ta'ala anhu, we find that it was only after the Battle of Yamama, that this whole issue of the collection of the Quran had come to surface, and it had alarmed Abu Bakr Umar ta'ala anhu, and he had come forward and come forth before the Caliph Abu Bakr and had insisted that at the death of so many people or so many memorizers, the Quran should be collected. Now the question is that if a collection had already been made by Ali ta'ala anhu, as is the case that he is the person who had collected the Quran, then why is it that it was not used in this collection? It should have been used in this collection, as has been pointed out by Shawli. He himself has said that if the collection of the Quran had been made right after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this should have been put to use while Zayd ibn Sabit was collecting the Quran. He should have called upon the fact that since Ali ta'ala anhu has already done his collection, let's benefit from that as well. But it was never put to use. And also we find Abu Bakr radi ta'ala anhu displaying two contradictory attitudes. While in the caliph, in the collection of the Quran narrative, which took place in his own times, he seems very, he's not very encouraging to the fact that the Quran should be collected, because he thinks that something which is the Prophet himself never did, so why should they do it? This is what is mentioned in the collection of the Quran narrative ascribed to his era. But in this particular narrative, which describes a collection to the Caliph Ali, he is actually very excited, or at least seems very satisfied that, okay, if Ali is doing it, it's something very good. He's formed a very nice opinion, a very good opinion. So it seems very strange that when it was in his own era, he was very hesitant in collecting the Quran. And when previously Ali had done so, he was very encouraging that he is doing so. So again, this is something which is inexplicable. The fourth critique which arises in this regard is that the whole picture which emerges is very fragmentary. It's very fragmentary. It's very incomplete. We do not find in history, in the Sunni history books, that after the completion of this task, if ever it was completed, that Ali had come over and presented what he had collected. We don't find it in the Sunni Muslim books. Neither we do find that Abu Bakr himself was perturbed, or he was anxious to call Ali later on and ask him what he had done and what happened to that Quran that he had collected. So it seems that the whole issue was never not found mention, or in the whole picture which emerges is incomplete. If it is a Quran which was collected by the Caliph by Ali رضي الله عنه, and it was something which was approved by Abu Bakr, and he had asked him to continue with the task that he was doing, or he was approved with what he had done. So he should have asked Ali رضي الله عنه about the completion of the task, or Ali رضي الله عنه should have brought over the finished Quran, written Quran, to the other companions that this is what he had done. But in all the source books of Sunni Muslims, we find that there's no such mention. And we find that the story ends here. So it brings this question to mind, that what was the whole purpose of mentioning the fact, whatever has been mentioned? Because when it was never, the way it should have happened is never completed, the picture is incomplete, then the serious questions arise on this issue. Now, the fifth question which arises on this is that it is reported by Ali himself that the first person to collect the Quran between two covers is Abu Bakr, Awwalu Jamal Quran Bain Lawhain. So he says it is Abu Bakr himself who is the person who has collected the Quran. He's the first person. This narrative is ascribed to Ali رضي الله عنه himself. And as you can see, it is being displayed before you in the screen. And here we find that in this narrative, it is he himself. So if we find two contradictory reports regarding the first collection, or the fact that it was Abu Bakr or it was Ali himself. And Ali himself in his own report is that it was Abu Bakr who had collected, whereas people or these narratives ascribe this collection or written collection to Ali رضي الله عنه himself. This again is very strange. And the sixth critique which arises on the text of this narrative is that the books which themselves mention this narrative are outside the six canonical hadith books, and they are books which are actually either of tafsir books. They mention these narratives in certain tafsir books or in certain history books. The six canonical collections of Sunni Muslims, which are of primary importance to them vis-a-vis history and hadith, none of these mentions any sort of collection by Ali ta'ala anhu. So this again is a point which is of serious importance. That if this is an issue of importance, and if this did happen, then why is it that it was not mentioned in the six canonical hadith books of the Sunni Muslims? Now, the seventh and final critique on this on these narratives that describe a collection of the Quran to Ali ta'ala anhu is that some of the narratives speak that Ali ta'ala anhu had collected the Quran, its chronological sequence, the way it was revealed. Thus, for example, we find Ibn Abdul Bar in his At-Tamhid, he says that the words are, and it's actually ascribed to Ibn Sirin, that Ibn Sirin says, قَالَ Ibn Sirin وَبَلْغَنِي أَنَّهُ قَتَبَهُ عَلَىٰ تَنْزِيلِهِ, which means that Ibn Sirin says, it is reported to me, or it has reached me, no one has reported to him, it has reached me, the news has reached me, that Ali ta'ala anhu actually wrote out the Quran, عَلَىٰ تَنْزِيلِهِ, the way it was revealed. So this is something which Ibn Sirin has reported, it has been recorded on the authority of Ibn Sirin. Now the question which arises is that again this is a very weak an inscription. This is because neither Ali رضي الله عنه anywhere himself has said that he had compiled the Quran according to its chronological sequence, nor is the inscription of collecting this Quran by other people to Ali is very sound. As you can see in this very first narrative I have described before you, Ibn Sirin was not contemporaneous to the times of the Caliph Ali ta'ala anhu, or he was not contemporaneous to this event. So he says that balagani annahu kataba. He said it has reached me. So we don't know who has informed Ibn Sirin in this regard and who is the person who is saying this. And again, this is something which cannot be, of course, on this basis relied upon. And the more important question in this regard is that what exactly was the purpose of arranging the Quran chronologically? What exactly was the purpose? This is because if this had not been done by the Prophet himself, then why did Ali رضي الله عنه take it upon himself to do this task? Because if it had been of some importance, then Ali رضي الله عنه would himself, or the Prophet himself would have undertaken this task. Now, as I said earlier on, that the ascription to this, the ascription of the collection of the Quran according to its chronological sequence itself stands to question, because Ali رضي الله عنه never said that he did that, and it is other people who have described it. We find that in the narratives, in later narratives which are reported by Ikrimah and Muhammad ibn Sirin, that this thing is reported. Now, let us also see the way it has been reported. As I said, Balaghani is one way in which it is very vague, in which Ibn Sirin has just said that it has, the news has reached him. Now, in the narrative by Ikrimah, the words are Allafuhu kama unzila al-awwal fal-awwal. Again, the words here are Allafuhu. The narrative does not even say that it was Ali who was responsible for this chronological collection. It only says that people, Allafuhu is a plural verb, which means that people had written this according to its, did they compile, actually it's a question, Allafuhu kama unzila, which means that they compiled the Quran according to a sequence of revelation. So, and the words are, did he compile? And it's not that did he compile. The word should have been allafahu kama unzila. It should not have been allafuhu. So this shows that again, the ascription is not even to Ali in this narrative. It is to people. So we don't know whether they were people or whatever the fact was. But this much is certain, that it was not Ali in this narrative at least who had been responsible for this. And also we find in the narrative of Ibn Sirin, the words which are used are faza'amu annahu katabahu ala tanzilihi, that people are of the opinion, people are of the conjecture, people reckon that Ali wrote it down according to its revelatory or chronological sequence. Again, we see that there is this ring of ambiguity, this ring of uncertainty when we use the word faza'amu, which means that it's something which they claim and which lacks corroboration. So we can see that this whole issue of Ali collecting the Quran, written collection according to its chronological sequence, it's itself is something which neither Ali himself has claimed, nor there's a narrative from him which says so. It is basically conjecture by other people. Some of them are of the opinion that it was actually written by other people, allafuhu, they had written it down. And others, when they say that it was the narrative, it was something which had been written by Ali himself. First of all, we see that a person like Ibn Sirin at one instance says balagani, it has reached him. And at another instance, he says that fazarmu, that people think that he had written it according to the revelatory sequence. So all in all, the fact that this was a revelatory sequence in which the Quran was compiled by the Caliph Ali, it stands very little ground and it does not hold water at all the way it has been described in these narratives. And lastly, if such an effort had been made by the Caliph Ali, it would have found some mention of this chronological sequence in our books, but we find that there is no such chronological actual fact in which the surahs have been arranged in this chronological manner. And so, therefore, this seventh critique, if I wind it up, I would say that the fact that Ali had collected the Quran in his revelatory sequence is something which is unfounded and cannot be established from these narratives. So viewers, all in all, you can see that these are the seven points of critique. And I should also like to mention that as far as the written collection which is ascribed which is recorded by Yaqubi is concerned, I've already mentioned the critique of some of the scholars like Jeffrey on that collection. And I think it's very, very very worthy what he's pointed out. And therefore, whatever Yaqubi has recorded vis-a-vis a written collection of the Caliph Ali is highly improbable. It does not have any foundation. But all in all, as I said, that these seven points of critique on the text of the narrative, and as well as the earlier part in which I had described the critique on the scholars themselves, is something which I'd like to present before you in this session. Inshallah, in the next session, we shall see some of the chains of narration, all of the chains of narration in which these four people report this narrative of the Caliph Ali. And then we shall move forward and see how the Shiite sources have reported this whole episode and this whole story, and how it stands to the test of criticism. Till then, أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.